meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hi, everybody, and welcome, as always.
Welcome, Father.
Welcome. Christina, welcome. Tony, and all you
Hello.
Out there.
I'm Tony.
I'm your brother, and I share with you the distress, the kingdom, and the endurance we have in Christ Jesus. So I have to tell you what happened. I thought of you, yesterday.
What did I do?
Tony, well, you mentioned this to me once before and it kind of went over my head because I probably had other things on my mind.
It happens.
So a couple of days ago, Christina came to my office and she said, a woman, and I don't know that I even know who the woman is, said, or asked if I had read the book Broken Mary.
Right.
Okay. And I had never heard of it, and I said, no.
Man.
I didn't. So yesterday, I went to my desk, and I saw the book Broken Mary on my desk. So I've got so many things to do and so many things to read. So I thought, well, you know, just small book, I'll get to it whenever, you know, if I ever get to it. I had all kinds of other things on my mind. I was doing all kinds of other things. And so I have the book in my hand, and I, for some reason, I just thought, you know, I wanted to call a friend of mine who was I was in the seminary with. So I didn't even give it a second thought. Why am I calling? I just picked it up. I called and said, you know, how you doing? And then he proceeded to tell me about this book, Broken Mary. it was really, really, I said, I'm holding the book in my hands.
Yeah.
And he said, you might like, and it still didn't connect until I got off. No, so into the conversation, it occurred to me that he was on the radio here.
Yes.
And you were. In the studio.
Well, no, actually, I was listening. I missed it. I feel really bad. It was a very good interview.
Yeah.
And I wish Armin, and I said to myself, first of all, Father, I hope you would interview him also.
Sure.
Not that, you know, one is better than the other. It's just that his story is similar.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's just, it reminded me of, you know, the awakening and just, it's a beautiful story.
It really is. So, the author is Kevin Matthews.
Right, and I like Kevin Matthews.
So, tell us a little bit about Kevin Matthews.
Well, he was a radio star here again, and you know, we share our love of radio. I love radio, and he you know, when you think of the, you know, for people that don't understand the Steve Dahls and the Jonathan Bradmeyers or the Man Cows, he was like the beginning of this, and he was always the one that was a little not so, you know, I don't know how to say it. When I was younger, I liked that kind of radio because it was, you know, it had all this goofy stuff going on. It was funny.
Jim Short.
Right. But with him, I want to say a cleaner version of what it, you know.
Became.
Even Mancow. I mean, I love Mancow. You know, back then, but it became so, I don't know how to say it, just worldly, very, you know, stars. And the thing about, you know, Kevin Matthews and even, you know, say thing about Mancow, I love his interviewing skills. That's, you know, you can surround them with all the, you know, I don't know how to clean it up. So, you know, the stars and, you know, things like that where it's like a jokey, mm-hmm. you know, man cow, madhouse, you know, it's like that.
Yeah.
But Kevin Matthews is a radio star, and he always had, you know, he was just down to earth.
He was a Chicago legend, I guess.
He's a legend, I want to say legend. Now with the Loop being sold now, I don't know if you've heard that, the Loop station Loop is no longer.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, well, that's where, you know, Brad Meyer and... Mancow, these were all these guys were.
So you've been a radio junkie all your life, I think. You know, so I have not.
Yeah.
Until recently, you know, and part of that was, I didn't. I was in the seminary, and then I was in the novitiate, and then back in the seminary, and so there's a whole chunk of my life where. I was completely out of touch, in a sense, you know, all through the 80s. And then I was ordained a priest.
You probably didn't miss much, except for the 80s.
Well, maybe, but I do like, I like talk radio.
Right. And this was the beginning of that, really. It had the music in there, but it was leading toward talk. And that's, I've always loved talk radio.
Yeah, so it's, so anyway, I thought you'd, I got to tell
and
Tony
this. And his story was so interesting, too, because when I first heard of Kevin Matthews, because I know he's got MS, and I just did, when I heard this, because I heard it on another station, and I thought, Kevin Matthews? So I started, I researched, I heard his story, I heard him talk. That's why when he came here, that interview was so good for like many other reasons. If there's a way, we can always, you can, what is it, download?
Download it, yeah.
And you can hear it. It's just, it's a he's fascinating story.
Yeah, it really is. And I was, it's simple.
Yeah.
It's very simple.
And that's another thing that's about it. That's,
you know, and so what it did is it for those who didn't hear the story, or I tell a little bit of it, and even my friend who was on the phone, he didn't tell the story the right way. He was telling me a little bit about the story, and he got it wrong.
Yeah.
But I don't know that he's read the book. I think he just maybe heard an interview or something or whatever. I don't know. But
the book goes a little bit more into it. And it's a simple read. I mean,
have you read it?
I read half of it. I'm not going to lie to you.
Okay.
I wanted to, because, you know, with me and books, I start 10 books and I'm like reading all the time. But the little bit when I was reading it, I couldn't put it down. Mm. I had to go to work, but you know, I couldn't put it down.
Because the first part of the book is a little bit of his own. He talks about his life in radio and when he was a boy, how he grew up. And what was interesting, what was fascinating about it, I thought, and it is, it's a very, very simple read.
Right.
But it just reminded me. So I had to ask myself, why am I reading this? Because I had other things to do. Although Christina knows yesterday, I was beside myself because I was, and I still am, suffering with my sinuses. And I think this is a part of the treatment that I'm taking. I know it's a side effect. And so I couldn't breathe yesterday, and that was very aggravating. So there's just a lot of things I wanted to do. I couldn't. It was one of those days I didn't have any appointments.
Mm-hmm.
I really had basically a free day. I call that my day off, but it's never a day off because I live where I work, and so as long as I'm here, I know there's all these things. You never caught up, you know. Mm-hmm. So I'm never caught up, and I guess that's probably with most people. Today, any day, perhaps, you know, we were talking about that the other day about the technology and all that. But even again, as to go back a Tuesday when we were on the radio, you know, you think about the days when we mentioned the mothers with all the children and they had to iron the clothes and the wash machines, you know, the ringers and all that. Oh, that's going way back. But they were busy all the time, and so we're busy in a different way. We've got this access to technology, and it takes really, you have to fight that and not take possession, full possession of your lives. But it is what it is. So I had, so I always look forward to a day like yesterday because and it always happens. Right. It's always a complete flop, a complete ruined day. So all day. And I didn't. I told Chris, I thought, well, I should take a ride. I guess I'm just going
to
get, I live
sometimes
where I work.
You need
so
to get away.
Get out, get in my car. But the problem in Chicago is that you can't take a leisurely ride anymore because the traffic is horrendous. Mm-hmm. Anywhere you go, it seems, any time of day. Mm-hmm. And I used to love to take a daily ride, just go out, get out, take a ride. I love the landscape, the skyway, skyline. Chicago's a beautiful city.
It is.
So I like driving around, and just I'm fascinated by the, I'm glad I'm living, and I think about this all the time, I'm so blessed that I've been for so long in the city, right in the heart of the city, right down, really basically downtown, because we're right off the loop. And so this is, so when I begin to interiorly complain, woe is me, oh, woe is me, I have to remember all the blessings and just being here where I live in close proximity to downtown, right out the window. It's the perfect location. Mm-hmm. And but where you can, before you could take these rides, you know, today it's always a battle. So yesterday I thought, well, I've got to at least get out for about an hour, just take a ride. You know, and I listen to the radio, and I admit I don't pray when I'm in the car, because I pray here. Why would I pray in the car? But I pray all the time, you know, right. So I'm always thinking
like
about
it.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. It's just not a formal prayer. But I do like to listen to talk radio. Mm-hmm. I like political radio. And there's a couple of channels I really like, too. I guess we're not supposed to say this on the radio, because then people tune us out and tune them in. But they're, anyway, so.
It's good to be relevant. Well-rounded.
Yeah, it is. Sure
we can
is.
Listen to everything.
But there's what is it? I don't even know what it's called. Me TV. It's beautiful. They got all those old songs, you know. So it's really nice. So when you want music, you know, it's very nice. But anyway, so I never even got out yesterday. I just didn't get out because I kept pushing her off because I got to get this done. I got to get this done. But nothing was getting done because I'm fighting my inability to breathe, you know. Well, I tell you, when you can't breathe, you can't breathe.
It's, it's terrible.
Horrible. And so I happened to be at my desk, and that was one of the things. I couldn't do anything, so I just picked up the phone and called this friend of mine, Rich. Christy knows Rich.
I was wondering if that was
He's got a beautiful, he's got a gifted voice. He sings,
And he plays a guitar.
He's a great guitarist.
Yes.
And his story is interesting, too. We were in the seminary together, so we've known each other for so many years, and he... when he went to the seminary, he was into the rock, really into the really, really rock music, and that's how his guitar playing, he began with this rock music, and so he was, it was in that sense, an oddity in the seminary at the time, but then he transitioned into beautiful.
Yeah, classic. Guitar, no?
Yes.
Classic guitar. Yes,
that's what I've heard him
play. Yeah, he's an excellent guitarist.
He is beautiful.
Yeah. In fact, because we were very good friends, and so I wanted to, you know, emulate. I couldn't see any gifts in my... I've said this before, I think, but I said, woe is me. I have nothing, you know, to give. He's got this beautiful singing voice. He plays the guitar just beautifully.
I can picture you with a long beard.
Yeah. Exactly.
And a guitar slung around your back.
And I did, yeah. So I got a guitar, and I pretended like I was playing, you know, I would play along with him, pretend.
There was a picture of
Oh, look,
both.
They're both playing.
And with the guitar.
Yeah, with the guitar.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It was just, but don't believe any of it. It was just, it was all.
It was just for the
it
picture.
It was a Photoshop, you know. Photoshop? Is
he just had the guitar, but he wasn't playing.
No, I wanted to learn the guitar, but I just didn't have the discipline, and I was... battling all kinds of other things, and I was...
I had a dream like that last night, too, about the guitar and playing.
Really, you?
Me, yeah. I had a dream that I was trying to learn how to play, but I couldn't.
Really?
I couldn't, just last night, yeah.
Well, that's interesting. Did you have a desire to play the guitar?
Well, yeah, I played a little bit.
Oh,
in high school, I took...
Well, we should get together. And,
let's have a little band.
Have a jam session.
Jamming session.
Just take a picture of us both with guitars, but not play.
Oh, no. We can make a band. I'm the drummer.
Right, got a drummer.
When I think back, I'm embarrassed by my, by who I was and what I am, you know. But the I really did. I just didn't have the discipline, and I pretended like it's. We would play at churches, you know, and I would just I'm just there pretending.
That is funny.
But anyway, he was. Athletic, he sang beautifully. He had to play this anyway. So, but don't like him for that reason. But
I just don't like him for that reason.
But he didn't. But he didn't stay in that. He didn't. We would have been ordained together, and he wasn't ordained. But he's got a beautiful wife and two daughters and all that, and so he's doing really well. So anyway, I just called him, picked up, and called him, and he says, you know, And I says, I'm just calling. I don't know why I'm calling. I just, you know, no pressing issue. Sometimes if there's a pressing issue, I might. And he proceeded to tell me about this book, Broken Mary. So the point is, you know, what it, so I read it. Mm-hmm. I read it. Because it's only about
it's
100.
Small, yeah.
It's small. It's a very easy read, very simple. But what it reminded me how God really taps into, I'll tell you what, we'll take a break. Okay. We'll come back and then I'll tell you because I'm asking myself, is it real? Why am I reading this, even as I'm reading it? Right. But I couldn't put it down like you said,
exactly.
Although you put it down and didn't pick it back up.
I had to go to work. That's the only reason I did, but I just kept reading.
So I'll tell you when we come back from the break why this was an important book for me to read, okay?
Mm-hmm. Good.
So don't go away. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Kostka is the sanctuary of the divine mercy, where you can enter into the presence of Christ 24/7. Every first Saturday afternoon will be a special opportunity for healing. At 4:30, bring your petitions for our Blessed Mother's intercession as we pray the Rosary. Then, at 5, we share the body of Christ in the Holy Mass. Also, at 5:30, a Spanish Mass, followed by a Eucharistic procession, Adoration, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and an anointing. Enter into the sacred space of St. Stanislaus Kostka and place yourself before Christ for healing. On first Saturday afternoon, starting at 4:30, find St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, 2 blocks north of Division, on Noble, just off the Kennedy in Chicago, and find peace and healing.
The Winds of Change on AM 750. WNDZ, and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
The Daughters of St. Paul are consecrated religious women founded 100 years ago to promote the gospel using all means of communications. I'm Sister Teresa Aletheia. Our founder, Blessed James Alberione, once said, "The motion picture has a psychological power over the human spirit, because it takes hold of the whole person and strikes at all his faculties, physical and spiritual." Please join with us as we pray for those who are negatively affected by media. Heavenly Father, we pray in atonement for error and scandal spread throughout the world through the misuse of the media of social communication, and that media may be used to acknowledge and to make known that Jesus alone, the Word incarnate, is the perfect teacher who leads to eternal life. Amen. Waking up the world with social communication for 100 years, daughtersofstpaul.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. So we're talking about the book Broken Mary by Kevin Matthews, who was a radio legend.
Mm-hmm. Is
as we will be, he is as we will be one day too. I'm sure. Right. I'm certain of that. You know,
legendary guitar
with our
players.
500
sure.
listeners we have, so. But a legendary guitar players too.
Right.
That really is embarrassing when I think back. You know how sometimes you think back and you think of yourself and geez, what was it?
I try not looking back.
At least you had a guitar in your hand, not like this other guy. They call him the space guitar.
Right.
He was just this guy in Mexico. He was trying it out in the.
He never had a guitar in his hand.
He didn't have a guitar. He was just playing. There was nothing in his hand.
Well, when my father was in Vietnam, he came back. He surprised us by coming back for Christmas. We didn't know. It's a long story, but everything's a long story. But he, so that Christmas, he gave me a guitar. You know, I received a guitar. And he was disappointed that I didn't have the discipline to, you know, he gave it, you know, here I was, that was when the guitars were really coming out.
Right.
When people were really starting to play the guitars. So that would have been in the late 60s, maybe 1969 or something.
Yeah, it was big time.
Yeah. So it's, you know, he would reprimand me all the time, you know, pick up the guitar, practice, you got to put practice, you know. He tried to get me on the accordion too when I was a small child, but I wasn't disciplined when it came to that. And I admire anybody who does have that talent. Like Christina plays the drums, you know.
Yes.
So you should pick that up again.
Pick that up again. I played it the other day.
That would be a good stress reducer, you know.
Oh, it is very much. It's a good workout too, Father. When you play the whole drum set.
Sure.
You know, it's a workout because you have the drum pedal You're working your legs and your upper.
Yeah. So
upper body.
Bring those old drums out again. And
yeah.
Get in shape, you know.
Let's get the band back together again.
We'll get the band
back together.
Right.
The band reunion.
But anyway, so this book was what inspired me about the book? Because I said, why am I reading this? But it was when he talked about when he was a child, and he had the alien, I think he called it. So there was this friend, secret friend, that he had that nobody saw, and the friend would speak to him.
Oh gosh!
And so I know
that's already kind
of creepy. It sounds like it. But wait, you think about it.
Okay.
Yeah, because what it was it that's how he survived. He survived the traumas of childhood. Mm-hmm. His father was an alcoholic.
Oh wow!
And he was evidently a mean alcoholic. Mm. Oh. And so when he would come home and he'd start drinking, you know, the more he drank, the meaner he got. And so this child, he was just a small boy, he would be upstairs in his room, and it was this secret friend that protected him, basically. It was like a guardian angel. Mm-hmm. God, he was able to identify this as God for him. This was very real. This is what got him through. But even as he described, and I remember myself, you know, when I would walk to school, because in those days we'd walk to school as well. And as a little child in Colorado, we were living in Colorado, and I remember he describes you know, going by the different houses,
right?
And it was and it just made me remember when we would walk to school as well, and every house had something rather strange or peculiar, you know. Either there was a mean dog, or there was a mean woman, or there was a mean old man, or whatever. But you know, and you maybe it was the innocence of childhood in those days where it was quite even crossing the street.
Mm-hmm.
I remember one time having to cross a major street. Now, major street in those days would be nothing like a major street in these days. But I remember the great fear I had crossing that street. You know, there's a lot of traffic, and it was one evening when I was by myself, and I had gone to visit a friend after school who lived in a different part of the town. Or it seemed like, you know, in those days it was probably just 2 blocks away, but it seemed like
forever.
And I was there later than I should have been. It was already dark, and so I had to go home in the dark and had to cross that street. And I remember the fear. But even there, you know, you as a child, and it brought me back to when I was a child as well. And not that I heard voices, but there was this this simple faith that somebody was watching over you, and so you would enter into this conversation, or you'd, you know, share whatever was in your heart, you know, your fears or your anxieties or your hopes, your dreams, whatever it might be. And he that was very real for him, but it really is what enabled him to survive the traumas of childhood. But it's really quite funny, you know, when you the very first part was really quite entertaining. And then as he got into adulthood and he got into the whole radio business and all that, and I guess he says quite honestly that he never did drugs or anything like that, you know. But I guess there were some risque stuff that they did on the radio and all that, right? Okay.
Like the beginning, and like I said, some of them have really, it got boring. It got real, even for me. I mean, I remember younger years just, you know, not really caring and not really paying attention. But as radio, just in general, progressed, it got better when they decided to throw some of that stuff to the side. But I mean, they're just great talkers.
Sure.
One of them.
Well, he had multiple voices, I guess. Yeah. Or he had multiple characters.
Yeah.
Because I downloaded a little bit of that after I went off. Who is this guy? And so I downloaded, and Jim Short was funny, you know, very funny, because he brings him into the story as well. But the thing that as a priest who speaks to children, because I have children in we have a school, I often wonder if they pray or how to reach them. Yeah. But this kind of gave me a sense that, you know, there is something very natural about our childhood, and that we have almost a natural relationship with God, whether we call it you know, however we call God, mm-hmm. but there's this intuitive sense or this whatever, you know, and I have to trust that, you know, we're all created by God. We're loved into life. We're created for God. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, the children, they have a natural disposition for God, for the things of God, and that's being challenged certainly as they get older. But I appreciated that, and he was a Catholic. He is a Catholic. He's a very a devout Catholic actually now. But he kind of wasn't really too much into the faith. Right. It seems, although he raised his children, he's unapologetically Catholic. Mm-hmm. Always seemed to have been. But he also talks about the frustration that he couldn't speak about God on the radio. Right. He couldn't. It was taboo. He says you could talk about the devil and all the, but you couldn't talk about God or Jesus or the Blessed Virgin Mary. He has a very, very deep devotion, deep love for the Blessed Virgin Mary. Simple but very deep. Mm-hmm. Simple and deep. Does that make sense?
Sure.
In other words, it was a kind of a childlike, and that's what I was reflecting on. And I had emailed my friend today and said, you know, I read the book and. I said, you might even scoff at it because it's very simple, but it is, it's just a reminder that, you know, when Jesus says, be like the children, let the children come to me because to them belongs the kingdom of God, and that there is a natural openness, a receptivity that we have as children to the things of God. Now, it helps if that's reinforced, and by the way, that's the other thing, too, that impressed me on in the story. Is his memory of his grandparents praying the rosary.
Yeah.
And I think, see, this is why grandparents are so important because, you know, they've already basically raised their children. They're at a different place in their lives. They're having to reflect on their own mortality, as we are now, some of us. And, you know, prayer, so he witnessed their daily ritual in the praying of the rosary. And so it took me back to my grandmother as well and how that remained with him, that image remained with him. And so when he was diagnosed with MS, and then he goes through that whole trauma, which was would be a trauma for anybody, because at first they thought it was perhaps a cancerous tumor. In fact, he was basically sent home to kind of begin to prepare for his death, as he writes about that. But through further study, it was MS, but it still left him in a debilitated state. And eventually, you know, he his career as a radio broadcaster came to an end. But in any case, in that, how he felt driven or drawn to, first and foremost, to the Blessed Virgin Mary. And I'm telling the story here, but there comes a point where he finds this broken statue, and he goes into the store because the statue's out in the
trash.
In the trash. He talks about it. The statue's out in the trash. And it's funny because he asked the woman, he wanted to buy the statue. And she said, what was it? It's a family heirloom. Well, she thought she's going to get, you know, if he wants it, then he's going she's going to get as much as she can for it, right? Mm-hmm. But then she realized that it was Kevin Matthews. She recognized his voice, you know? And so she gave it to him. I don't know if she gave it to him or if he bought it, whatever. I don't know. But eventually what he does is he has it repaired, but not completely repaired. He wants it to appear broken because it reflects our brokenness, that we are all broken.
It's like we were talking about the story. I mean, just the fact that, okay, some people look at that and they say, oh, well, what an idiot. It's a statue. It doesn't mean anything. But here's yet another soul that's telling a story. And I mean, men and women of faith know what that is. You know, you listen and I was drawn into this story. I mean, it's just, it's beautiful the way he tells it. It's beautiful the way we're retelling it. And that's just what it is.
You know? Well, I was reflecting on that as well. Mm-hmm. And so even in, over the years, you know, dialogue, I've had conversations with this friend of mine. We've kept in touch. Mm-hmm. And I consider him kind of a, more of a liberal kind of, I think he thinks I'm,
ultra conservative.
Yeah, he does.
I have one too.
He does. You know, like you know, I got a you know. He uses the gobbledygook or whatever, you know, and all this kind of stuff. And so that's why I said I wrote him back today, and I says, you know, I don't think you might scoff at this book. You know, you were this book that was that you were you know, if not for Kevin Matthews, you might scoff at it. But and maybe he wouldn't. I don't know. But I was thinking about that as well, how these things, you know, the iconography mm-hmm. of the Catholic Church, I mean, there's iconography and then there's art that is exquisite art, very, very well done. I think our monstrance here is a beautiful work of art because mm-hmm. it's so unique and it was hand carved and all that, and it's not factory, it doesn't come from a factory. So I know over the years people have criticized certain statues that they're cookie cutter statues, or they, you know, they come out of a catalog or whatever, and very trite and very simple and kind of cute and all that. But even so, mm-hmm. those the iconography or the statuary, you know, the statues of saints, especially the Blessed Virgin Mary. See, there's something about the Blessed Virgin Mary. Mm-hmm. That really confounds the wise of this world. You know, she, as she would say in her Magnificat, you know, that God raises up the lowly and brings down from the pedestal the wise of this world as he's lifting up the lowly. But people, simple people, and when I say simple, I don't mean that in a bad way, but because sometimes I wonder if we, as we get older, we don't lose that simplicity mm-hmm. of faith. And I've said this many times, but I'm asking myself, even as I'm speaking to myself, if somehow I've lost the childlike faith that really is really the proper disposition that one would want to live in the presence of God, open to wonder at the mystery of God. I certainly don't think that I've... I'm talking to myself now, okay, but because I always say, and I love this, you know, throw yourself into the mystery of God. You don't have to have all the answers, and you'll be free. And it's beautiful because you don't have to have all the answers. But I think a lot of adulthood, and I think this was the case in the life of
Kevin Matthews,
is much of adulthood is eventually trying to get back to the innocence mm-hmm. of childhood, and so he, in a sense, he kind of rediscovered or re-identified with the voice within him that enabled him to survive the traumas of his childhood, mm-hmm. that protecting presence, that voice that spoke to his heart, to the deepest part of his heart, and kept saying, Kevin, it's going to be okay. You know, you're going to be okay. You're protected. Don't worry. And this is, you know, and is this not really the simplicity of faith that when Jesus says, you know, why do you worry so much about so many things? I mean, I always go back to this, but he says, look, you look at the birds in the sky, I provide for the birds and the flowers of the field, they're beautifully adorned, and yet you're more important to me than the birds and the flowers, so stop it. And in the gospel, he says it in Spanish, I don't quite sure know what he says in English. I don't think he says stop it, but Enough already. But no, I think in English he said, well, I've got it right here. Let me find it. But he probably says, stop worrying already.
Somebody mentioned on the radio yesterday, 93.9, Delilah. She's good. I love Delilah. And somebody was worried about the finances and she...
I didn't know she was still on the radio.
She came back.
What?
She came 93. Back. Wow. 93.9. She comes out in the evening, like late.
Uh-huh. And so what did Delilah say?
She brought Christina. Up the passage that you're mentioning right now about what if Jesus if he provides for the birds in the sky, and the birds in the sky and all that, then what more important are we?
Yeah.
So she, I was like, oh my God. And she does mention, she's very religious.
She's a very religious woman.
Yeah, she mentions God a lot.
She sure does.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he says, so Jesus says, let me see. Yes. So, you know, he says, don't worry about your life, what you're going to eat or drink, or about your body, what you're going to wear. I should see, that's why I say I'm going to go to purgatory, because of my shoes. You know, I'm always, I'm so invested in shoes. I'm always trying to find shoes that are comfortable, you know?
Well, because you're on your feet.
By the way, those were not shoes that came in yesterday. So,
oh, okay.
Just so you
were.
Know. That's going to be my purgation.
If you're going to go to purgatory, then where am I going? Because I have so many pairs of shoes, Father. So well, I don't know.
But anyways, just, yeah, look at the bird. Yeah, don't worry about it, Christine. We'll comfort each other in purgatory. Just look at the bird.
Training on shoes.
I'll just give it away before I check out.
No, bare feet. Bare feet.
Right.
Yeah.
Walking on coals. It says, look at the birds in the sky. They don't sow or reap. They gather nothing into the barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more important than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single moment to your lifespan? Why are you so anxious about clothes? Why are you so anxious about shoes? It doesn't say that. No, it's just a clothes. Because it more stands. Learn then from the way the wildflowers grow. They do not work or spin, but I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was clothed like one of them. If God so clothes the grass of the field, which grows today and is thrown into the oven tomorrow, will he not much more provide for you, O you of little faith? So do not worry and say, what are we to eat, what are we to drink, or what are we to wear? All these things the pagans seek. Your heavenly Father knows what you need, that you need them all. Mm-hmm. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given you besides. Do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Sufficient for a day is its own evil. I love that passage because you know, Jesus, and this isn't just this passage, it's all over. Mm-hmm. But we've got troubles today. He says, look, we've got issues today. There's evil enough for today. There's problems enough for today. There's sufferings enough for today. Okay, this is life. I'm with you. You know? So, yeah, in Spanish, he says, stop it already. Mm. Enough already.
Enough.
Basta. Enough already. Here, just says, this translation, just in English, is just, don't worry. Don't worry. But that's the kind of faith that we need to, I think, in adulthood, mm-hmm. is to go back, or we try to go back to rediscover, recapture the innocence or the openness we had as children, placing our trust in God. Now, the hope is, and this is where I found some consolation in reading this book, as I deal with the children, they can't necessarily, like he didn't tell people, you know, he's got this alien who's speaking to him, protecting him, guiding him. He kept that to himself, right? I think he's nuts, crazy, but it was very real for him. And as he comes into his adult life, even after and as he says so beautifully too, all these other characters like Jim Short, and I guess there were other characters as well. He had multiple characters, kind of like Armin, you know, with a multiple voices. But with all the, but he realized, you know, at the end of all that. That he had to retire them. They were gone. They were dead, in a sense. I don't know if they actually says that, but what remains is that voice that comforted him, protected him, guided him, led him when he was a child, and of course the Blessed Virgin Mary was very key to this rediscovering the absolute necessity of God to get us through the traumas, the tragedies, the sufferings of this life. So it's not an escape.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, he actually had a healing at the cemetery, Queen of Heaven Cemetery, where
the statue.
Years ago, I remember that when people There was something happened there. No, it wasn't a weeping statue. It was, again, this image that appeared in a tree. There was a man, Joseph, I think, who used to go there. I remember years ago, the people you were just in droves, they were going there. And he went there as well by himself. And as he was on his way to an appointment with an attorney or something, and he just was sidetracked. He felt this. He felt compelled to go to the cemetery. He did. And at the end, the tree is gone, but they have the cemetery erected a beautiful crucifix. And he went to the crucifix. It was St. Patrick's Day, he said, and it was a beautiful day. And he put his hands on the feet of Jesus on the cross, and water began to trickle down his hand.
I remember him saying this.
And his feeling came back, because he had been basically paralyzed from this MS in the hand and the foot, and there was this instantaneous healing that he experienced, you know. So, very interesting story. All right, we will, I was going to say, we're going to go away. We're not going to go away.
No.
You don't go away. We will be right back. Don't tune in to be, what is that, TV?
MeTV?
MeTV? No.
Don't tune in to
stay,
MeTV.
Stay here with us. Don't go away. We just got a few more minutes. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to This is Port of Winds of Change at AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is the official sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. Founded by Polish immigrants in the late 1800s, this historic church is more commonly known as St. Stan's. One church, many cultures, in that masses are held in English, Spanish, and Polish. The church is two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. St. Stan's has been so prominent in the history of the church in Chicago that the Kennedy Expressway was even built around it. St. Stan's is easy to get to. It is the sanctuary for quiet prayer before the celebrated iconic monstrance. For Mass and confession times and special events, please visit our new website at ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org. And while you're on the homepage, feel free to click on the donations tab to help in the continuing restoration of St. Stan's.
Newsflash! This just in, Winds of Change podcast can now be heard on your iPhone and Android phone. Download the TuneIn Radio app and search Winds of Change, and Winds of Change will be right there for your very ears. We now return you to Winds of Change.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ. And on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
I'm Father Thomas Loya, inviting you to be drawn to Christ's passion through the wonderful performance of the Seven Last Words of Christ. 7 p.m. Friday, March 23rd at St. Mary Church, 19515 115th Avenue, Mokena, Illinois.
The Last Seven Words of Christ is both a theatrical and musical portrayal of the Passion of Christ. Unlike any other production, the actors never speak a word. The narration and dialogue of the scenes are given by the 50-member choir, soloists, and live orchestra through the musical work of composer Theodore Dubois and others. Simonetta Pasek, director, Anna Pasek, conductor. Purchase tickets at St. Mary's after all masses or the parish office or online at danceintegro.com. DanceIntegro.com. And click on shows. The Last Seven Words of Christ, Friday, March 23rd, 7 p.m. at St. Mary Parish, 19515 115th Avenue, Mokena, Illinois.
Well, that's really beautiful.
Yeah, sounds
beautiful
nice.
Music.
Yeah. So anyway, let me just say one more thing. I say one more thing, maybe a couple more things.
A few more things.
But the going back to the statues, it is interesting, you know. And some people might think, you know, it's just kind of trite and all that. But God works in mysterious ways, and you know, I was thinking about that. You know, He found the statue, He repaired it, but didn't fully repair it because He wanted it to, you know, it's become basically a pilgrim statue of people. Mm-hmm. At St. Anthony of Padua in Grand Rapids, Michigan, that's where it's at. And that's his parish. And so the people, they take it to their home, they take it to the nursing home or to a hospice or whatever. And people find it to be a very consoling presence. It is an icon. It is a sacramental. So we in the Catholic Church, we really believe. It's just like when in the gospel, in the scripture, when Peter was going through the town, and there was a crippled man, and he couldn't get to him, but it was just the shadow of Peter, when the shadow went over him, and he was healed. Or you think of the woman who said, in the midst of a crowd, she had been suffering for so many years, 12 years, 18 years, I think one gospel says 12, I think one gospel says 18 years, she had an infirmity that was chronic and debilitating. And so she, when word was out that Jesus was there, she went with the crowds, and she thought, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I know that I will be healed. And so she managed to crawl to the Lord, touched his garment. That's all she did. She touched the hem of his garment. And Jesus, he said, you know, somebody touched me. And the disciples, they said, you know, everybody's touching you, you know? Mm-hmm. He says, no. He says, somebody touched me. In other words, somebody has touched me in faith, because I felt this power go out of me. It's a fantastic a gospel, right? Mm. And she was trembling, and she says, sir, she said, I touched you. He says, yes. And he says, woman, your faith has healed you. And she was healed. But it was just touching the garment. And so in the Catholic Church, you know, we have relics, sacramental, you know, all these, it can be the garment of the religious habit of a saint. I think in the case of Mother Maria Teresa Dujic, venerable, there are little relics of her habit.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, you go to Rome, you'll see all kinds of things. It's all over. But anyway, I go back to the statue. And I was thinking about this, you know, it is interesting, and people may think this is all rather trite, but God, it's a way that he reaches simple people. And Kevin Matthews, for all the fame that he had, he's a very simple man, and that comes through in the book. You know, it's a very simple faith, a very childlike faith, and that's what's so very beautiful about it. And what makes me believe that, you know, whatever we can do to preserve and to continue to inculcate by word and indeed, you know, for the sake of our children, that they see us in prayer, that we speak freely about God, that we certainly, our lives correspond to that faith, and we do them a great service. They may naturally deviate, and you know, there's a natural rebellion, but we've laid the foundation, and they'll know how to get back there. But going back to the statues, isn't it interesting? And I mean, this happens so often in the last several years. Aside from the weeping statues and all that, or the statues that supposedly appear in the trees or under the viaduct or whatever, I mean, some of that is whatever. But I don't want. But what's interesting in the and it happened in California where they had the fires. It happened in New York when they had the huge storm and fire.
Mm-hmm.
It happened in so many places where there's hurricanes, where you've got an entire church or somebody's home completely demolished, completely burned down. This was just recently in California when they had all the fires and homes were burned to the. There was a whole neighborhood. There was nothing left except what? A statue of the Blessed Virgin Mary, untouched,
mm-hmm.
in the midst of all this the charred ruins mm-hmm. of a neighborhood, there stands a statue of the Blessed Virgin Mary. The same thing in, I think it was in Queens, in New York. You see this all the, and you know, okay, it happens once. You think, okay, well, you know, maybe coincidental. Mm-hmm. What does it mean? Or people may say, "Well, why? Why could she not have stopped this?" You know, but at the same time, you know, you just—is it not a message or a warning, or let's just say a message that perhaps, you know, what really matters in life, you know, what two things really matter? I would say three things, not just two things. Faith, family, and friends, right? Yeah. Isn't that the most important thing in life? Your faith, your family, your friends. Okay, you say families are dysfunctional. Look at my family. Well, you know, he speaks about his own family. You know, he still loved his father. He saw his father to the end. I'm assuming his father, he did, yeah, because he speaks about his father's death. And by the time his father died, the mother, you know, so he was, many people had seemingly had abandoned the father because he was a mean man, I guess, evidently. Mm-hmm. But with Kevin Matthews, he stood by him to the end and forgave him at the end of all things, too. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. But it is interesting, isn't it? You know, it's interesting.
Yeah. You know, I think about, too, you know, we're talking about being childlike or going back to, you know, when a child accepts and, you know, you think about those stories. I think we as adults always, I mean, you need to get in touch with where you came from or that childlike, you know, innocence, because I guess as we go through life, you forget, and it's so easy to forget. It's like times like this, and I tend to think about this myself lately, when I go back and think about the things I used to do and, you know, where I am now in opposed to, you know, where I was before.
Sure.
And just the fact that, you know, you can sit back and accept things. It was simpler. Sure. A child doesn't question. A child just, you know, you learn. And I think even when I think about even the catechist, you know, you try to be as best that you can the example to them. I think that's what we need to do today with our children especially. That's why, you know, even like at Mass, when you see children, I know you're very conscious about how you speak, but I mean, it's like the parents have to do this. The parents have to, you know, you can't just rely on the schools,
right,
or the churches or the catechists to teach. You have to be involved. And I mean, the time to do that is when you start thinking about, okay, when I was young, when I was accepting of things,
well,
when we learn?
You've got to bring, the faith isn't, whereas he talks about as a child, that voice within him, mm-hmm, who protected him. We must not deprive our children of the experience of faith. In other words, they've got to see in the adults. And so he saw it in his grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to see it in the adults, that there are adults in our lives, adults around us who are believers. And they they're giving witness in word as well as in deed. Tomorrow, I was going to get into this today, but I just had to talk about this because, mm-hmm, I thought it was very inspiring to me,
right,
you know, in a simple way. But, you know, tomorrow, why we really go to Mass?
Good.
Why we really go to Mass? I want to talk about that, and probably a little bit about the Samaritan woman. Some of the did we talk about that the other day? I don't think we did, but that was an option for the Mass this past, mm-hmm, Sunday, and it's just such a beautiful story because there too. Okay, there's a woman who went to the well, and Jesus happened to be there. And he said to the woman, I'm thirsty, give me to drink. And she was surprised that, you know, this Jewish man is asking her, a Samaritan woman, for a drink. And he says, you know, but if you knew who was asking you and that I would give you drink, you know, for life or whatever. And she said, well, you know, give me this to drink so I don't have to keep coming to the well. And he says, well, go on and bring me your husband. And she said, well, I have no husband. And Jesus says, you're right in saying you have no husband. Actually, you've had five husbands. And the man you're living with now is not your husband. And he didn't condemn her. And I mentioned that on Sunday. And I think, mm-hmm, somebody thought, well, I was saying it was all. No, I didn't. Mm-hmm. They didn't catch the point, which could be my fault. But I was saying that he didn't. It wasn't a condemnation, but he was revealing to her that, you know, there's something deeper you're looking for. And so you're looking here and there and everywhere. And I think that's what happens when we become adults, mm-hmm, because, mm-hmm, when we're children, we do question, but we accept, you know, the answers, as simple as they may be, Or if we don't have an answer, we just, we're okay with that as well. Okay, so, but as we get older, we get, you know, it just, it happens. And then we get caught up in the ways of the world, and we get disillusioned, perhaps, because the priest isn't the perfect Christ that he's supposed to be, you know, and whatever. There's hypocrites in the church or whatever. People say there's hypocrisy. Well, there's always going to be hypocrisy, you know. We're all hypocrites, I guess. But we do get sidetracked, and you know, we put aside the things of childhood, right? And a lot of times, that's one of those very important things is the faith, and then we begin to become guilty of idolatry, even though it may not be in an extreme kind of a situation. We think but certainly we have other things that we put before God, and God is put in the back burner, or He's hidden in this heaven beyond the beyond. And so we're looking to satisfy something. There's an emptiness within us. We want to satisfy that emptiness, that lonely place, and we begin to fill it with people or things or whatever. And that's basically what Jesus was saying to the woman. You know, I want to bring you to a deeper space where you're going to have your thirst satiated, your hunger satisfied, because deep down what it is you seek is God. And you didn't find him in that man or that, you know, you've had five husbands. The guy you're living with now is not your husband. They're not fulfilling your need, a deep need for God who alone can satisfy, right? And anyways, this is a beautiful story. Even so much so, it's a prelude to the thirst that Jesus has when he cries from the cross, "I thirst." And what is it that he's as Mother Teresa made very, very clear in her life? It was a basic theme to her response to the call of God in her life to give herself to the poorest of the poor. But in every chapel, the missionaries of charity have the quote alongside the cross: "I thirst," and Jesus, "I thirst for you." The water is not going to satisfy my thirst, but your soul. I thirst for your soul. And so there's this again, isn't it a mutual quest? God is seeking us as we're seeking God, whether we know it or not. And it took the MS in the life of Kevin Matthews to open him up to this, to bring him back to this which was already there, you know, God. And as he says in the book, he describes in his room all the pictures of all the famous people that he knew and all the awards that he got and all that. But he says it's all nothing. It's nothing. It's a little bit, it's a story of his life, but the greatest gift, the greatest treasure, the greatest beauty, the what brings him the deepest peace and gives him the greatest strength is, and he'll say, you know, Jesus and the Blessed Virgin Mary, his wife, his children, his family, his friends. So it's really that's the simplicity of it all, you know. And we have to sift through all this other stuff to eventually get back into the what is most essential. Because, you know, the bottom line is the world is passing away. It really is. And at the end, we take with us only what's in our heart. And it's very important that God be there, our family, our friends. All right, everybody, we will be back tomorrow, God willing. Almighty God bless you. Thanks for being with us. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Ciao.
Time is now.